welcome to another installment of Queer Radio. I'm Stephanie Tierney, with you every Monday from 2 to 2:30, bringing you local interviews and stories about St. John LGBTQ plus people. Today we continue the second part of a three-part series with local LGBTQ plus activist Mac McKenzie, and we're going to be joining that interview momentarily, so stick around. How is everyone doing today? Thank you for tuning in. I'm so happy you could join me. Today, like I said a few minutes ago, I've got the second of a three-part interview with Mac McKenzie, who is an advocate and activist in the St. John LGBTQ plus community. And I was so excited to sit down with him a few weeks ago and have a great big long chat. And he's so insightful and such a wonderful person, and I think you're really going to enjoy this interview. You're listening to Queer Radio, that's spelled K-W-I-R. I'm with you every Monday from 2 to 2:30 p.m., and the premise of this show is to bring you interviews and maybe down the road stories about St. John's queer community. And if you're on Facebook, you can look me up. It's KWIR, and I'm broadcasting live from local 107.3 FM in St. John. Thank you for joining me again. And I've got a whole bunch of stuff. I'm a little wired for sound today, as you can tell. I've got a lot of information that I want to share with you, and of course, we're going to get to that second part of the interview with Mac, which is really awesome. I wanted to, Queer originally started as the concept was going to be a fanzine, and I released a teaser issue last summer as part of the, or I had it included in the Sappy Fest zine fair, and I had some great feedback, and it lost steam. I didn't have any submissions for the first issue, and so I kind of put it on hold. Now Queer is reinvented as a radio show, and I'm also interested in doing a crossover zine. So if you're into making zines and that kind of thing, you should definitely go over to my Facebook page, Queer, K-W-I-R, and send me a message. Or you can send me a message here at the station. It's Stephanie at cfmh.ca, and maybe we can have a chat. So the reason I bring this up is because I had an interested party this morning when I was drinking my morning coffee. I got a message from somebody who was interested in working on some comic art, and so if you're out there listening and you identify as LGBTQ+, and you are creative, that is writing comics, poems, photography, putting a zine together for that matter, then you should definitely get in touch with me. And that's all I'm going to say about the zine. The Rainbow March is coming up, and I want to talk a little bit about that as well. And I'm going to give you the date. There's also a Facebook event for it, which I created for Mac McKenzie. Mac's not on Facebook, so I offered to do this to get the word out. Tuesday, May 17th at 5:30 p.m. at Harbor Passage. That's at Fort Latour at Harbor Passage, ending at Peel Plaza. And there will be refreshments and things like that at Peel Plaza once the march is over. But you want to meet us at Fort Latour on the Harbor Passage. That's Tuesday, May 17th, and Rainbow Peace March is a march to commemorate the International Day Against Homophobia and Transphobia. And it's a wonderful event. If you want more information, you can contact Mac McKenzie, and his email address is mac.mckenzie@nb.simpatico.ca, and you can also phone him at area code 506-648-9227. And if you'd like to be join us in the march, then we would love to have you. Make some signs, wear some colorful clothes, some rainbows, and come out and celebrate this yearly event, which takes place every May 17th. What else? Excuse me. I also, on my Facebook page, started to post a list of gender-neutral washrooms in the St. John area. And I had some input from some people in the community, which was awesome. And so if you're out there listening and you identify as transgender or you identify as gender non-conforming, there are lots of gender-neutral facilities at your disposal. Most of them are in the uptown area, so I'll just list them quickly. The Second Cup on King Street, the St. John Free Public Library, Sobeys in the North End, the Canadian Tire Gas Station on Ross Avenue near Long and McQuaid, Port City Royal. Of course, UMBSJ has multiple family washrooms, which you can feel free to use. There's also the Coburg Community Center on Coburg Street, which is incidentally where we hold UBU transgender support group meetings, as well as PFLAG support meetings. And there's a new building going up on Prince Edward Street, which is going to be the social enterprise hub. And my good friend Janelle Flanagan has informed me that they are going to build into this new structure gender-neutral washroom. So that is awesome. The Cineplex has a washroom apparently near the back, past the vending machines. Typho Restaurant has a gender-neutral washroom. Where else? So many. Church Street Restaurant. And there's quite a few. Because originally I always thought it was just Second Cup and the public library, but there are quite a few out there for you. So if you didn't have a chance to write all those down, you can go over to my Facebook page. I have them listed in a post from about a week ago. So you can go check that out as well. And what else do I have to tell you? Let's see. Rainbow March, washrooms. Oh, yeah. The University of Toronto, if you go to their webpage, it's positivespace.utoronto.ca. You can go over there. They actually have a really awesome positive space signage that you can print off yourself. You can make posters and or buttons, and there's no charge to print them off, and you can hang them up in your workplace or in your favorite, I don't know, you could approach your favorite restaurant or comic book store about putting them up. So those are free to use, and if you go to positivespace.utoronto.ca, you'll see a little rainbow triangle, and you click on that, and there's the templates are there for you to download. I personally downloaded and printed and laminated two of them for the radio station here, Local 107.3 FM, and I just think they're an awesome thing to add to your business if you are LGBTQ plus positive and inclusive. So there you go. You can do that. So we're going to hear the second half of an interview I did with Mac McKenzie. And I'll just give you a very brief rundown anyway. But Mac McKenzie has worked in the LGBTQ community for over a decade in various capacities, but primarily as a facilitator with the St. John chapter of PFLAG Canada and as the co-creator of the National Communities Encourage campaign. He has served as president of the UMBSJQ Collective and as well a member of the executive of Port City Rainbow Pride Incorporated. Mac is the past chair of two Pride Weeks in St. John and the former chair of the largest Pride Parade in New Brunswick. Mac is the founder and creator of the Rainbow Peace March, which I just mentioned is taking place on May 17th, to commemorate the International Day Against Homophobia and Transphobia. Mac presently sits on the board of the St. John Suicide Prevention Committee and the Provincial Committee to Establish a New Brunswick Transgender Healthcare Professionals Network. He's a busy guy, and he works in New Brunswick as a social worker. I'm not going to read all of that stuff again because I did read it last week on the show, and I'm going to be doing it again next week. So You'll know Mac very well by the end of this three-part interview. I also talked with a person from the St. John Pride Committee this morning over morning coffee as well, and they have agreed to meet with me a week from Friday to do an interview. So the next episode of Queer Coming Up, that's a week from today, will be the third and final installment in the interview with Mac McKenzie. And then I'm very positive that the following Monday will be an interview with, I believe, Michael Cummings from the St. John Pride organization. So you want to stick around for that. Please go over to Facebook, share my page. Let's get the word out. If you identify as LGBTQ+ and you would like to be a guest on my show and talk about some things you've done, projects you've done, marches you've been involved with, your life story, your successes, your struggles, and everything in between, then you should definitely get in touch with me, because I want to bring the queer St. John community to the airwaves, and I think it's very important, and I'm glad that I have this window of opportunity to have these voices heard. So now we're going to join the second half of an interview with Mac McKenzie, and it's going to be a little clunky because, as I had mentioned in past episodes, I'm just learning how to do interview radio. I've always done music shows, so I'm still kind of trying to find my legs here, but I'll play sort of the tail end of what I played last week, which is sort of the end of a question Mac was answering about whether he felt the transgender people should try to sort of subsist on their own away from the LGB part of that equation, or if unity is the key. And he had a great answer, and so this will be sort of the tail end of what he said last week, and then we'll continue on with the rest. So I hope you enjoy this as much as I did doing the interview. And here is Mac McKenzie and I talking a few weeks ago about LGBTQ+ issues in St. John and in general.
And so when, you know, when they went on further to explain what they meant by that, the organizers of that PFLAG chapter said, "Oh, we're not prepared to work with the transgender."
And I should add that Mac's just talking about a PFLAG chapter that wasn't going to be inclusive to trans people, just to give you some context.
Before they even started up, and they said, "Well, PFLAG started originally as parents and friends of lesbians and gays, and now to honor the history of the organization, we have kept the name, dropped the acronym. It's now just PFLAG Canada." And it is there for parents and friends of lesbians and gays, and not just parents and friends. It's there for next door neighbors and cats and rats and elephants and social workers and teachers. And it's not just there for lesbians and gays, but it's there for our sisters and brothers in the transgender community, mm-hmm. and our sisters and brothers in the bisexual community as well, mm-hmm. or people who are questioning. And that's the Q on the end of LGBTQ.
Right.
So.
Right.
So that's kind of, that's a long-winded
answer
to that question.
That's great.
There's strength in numbers, Stephanie. You know, it's affirming as well to look out and to see. In fact, I often say to people when I was involved with organizing Pride parades and Pride Week, the parade certainly, and I can't speak to the last few years, but certainly the parades. Initially, the very first parade that we had here at St. John, there were far more people that identified as being straight than there were LGBT, absolutely.
Right.
And if we had said to them, "I'm sorry, this is a parade just for members of the LGBT community," mm-hmm. we would not have had as many people in the there, so mm-hmm. participating.
Well, yeah, and I found that just since I came out a couple years ago, that there's been a marked increase in the visibility in the trans community in St. John, which is really wonderful, and having Transgender Day of Remembrance,
yes.
and Transgender Day of Visibility, and I've always, this is just an aside, but I've always been proud to march with my LGB brothers and sisters, and so I'm happy to hear you say that unity is the key.
I think so. I think anything discrimination. I can remember when the debate about same-sex marriage was taking place prior to it passing in 2005, and a woman senator, and I think it was the Federal Conservative Party, and she was a woman of color, and she came out vehemently opposed to same-sex marriage. And I thought, how can a woman who is, you know, on the list of those who are discriminated against,
right,
and how can a woman of color who is additionally discriminated against because of that, and she has both of those things in her court, and she comes out and discriminates against another group. And I was shocked by that. But I'm equally as shocked, Stephanie, when, I mean, discrimination happens when it happens within groups. So I'm black from Africa, and you're black from North America, so you're a lighter black than I am. So you and I discriminate against each other because you think I'm too black and I think you're not black enough. Or I'm French from Paris, and you're French from Shawinigan, or Nigadu, New Brunswick.
Right.
And I look down on you because because you don't speak the pure French, and the pure land, as they say in Quebec, you know, and that's discrimination within a group of Francophones.
Right, right.
And then we come to the wonderful LGB community, and within that, I'm lesbian, and I'm proud to be a lipstick lesbian, and my next door neighbor wears work boots and plaid lumberjack shirts and has a crew cut, and she's too butch to be hanging out with my friends because I hang out with my lipstick lesbian friends.
Right.
Or my next door neighbor says I'm too feminine to be hanging out with her, you know, her friends. And for gay men, it's the same thing. It's like those guys are too feminine to be hanging out with us straight acting gay guys. So we all, you know, everybody goes to bed with whoever they go to bed with, but it's how they present. And if one gay guy presents as straight acting, and the other one is limp-wristed and has a lisp and dresses in fabulous bright colors and all these, then there's that discrimination between the two of them. I think, my gosh, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, we're all fighting for the same thing.
We've had conversations about that at my workplace, even just about when these kinds of things come up, and just how it's just really sad to see these marginalized groups being catty or discriminatory against other marginalized groups. We've had a lot of, you know, long conversations about how disappointing that is when it happens in our lives.
And
it's
terrible. And in the transgender community, my understanding is that, you know, we know that transgender is an umbrella term for intersex,
two-spirit, genderqueer, asexual.
Thank you.
Yeah.
I guess
not asexual, but
So I mean, the asexual community could be asking why are we not included in the LGBT alphabet? You know, LGBTQ, so maybe we need to come up with another term. But what I'm saying is that my guess is, because I'm not tight enough with the transgender community to know, but my guess is there's, even within that group, there is a sense of discrimination. You know, this person is transgender, but they haven't had, but they're on their HRT, you know, hormone replacement therapy, and this person is transgender, and they had, they went to Montreal and had complete gender reassignment surgery, and this person identifies as the opposite gender to what they were born, but wants top surgery but not bottom surgery, or vice versa, and there's all these combinations and permutations. And as Francois Suzette said, who is a strong advocate for the transgender community and the sexual orientation, marginalized and sexual orientation community as well, she says it's no business of ours what is under a patient's clothing anymore than it is in the straight community. We don't say to the people we work with, I wonder what her boobs look like, or I wonder what his penis is, you know, mm-hmm. or does he have a penis? There's nobody's business what their junk
right.
is.
Right.
So why would it be anybody's business what their junk is mm-hmm. if they're in the transgender community as well?
Yeah.
If somebody comes up to me and says that I identify as this gender,
right.
I'm not gonna grab them by the chest or by the crotch to confirm what they're saying
right.
is true, because
right.
it's that has nothing to do with it.
Right.
And your quote to me earlier, if you would use that again.
Sure. I wish I remember the doctor's name, but he's an endocrinologist for children, specifically specializing in transgender children. And what he said was, and I don't know if he was the original person to say this, but I just heard it in a video the other night, and basically what he said is that sexuality is who you go to bed with, and gender identity is who you go to bed as. Mm. And I've used that. It's a quick and simple way to explain to people who are sort of struggling with what this means exactly.
Right. Right. It's funny how language is so important, and prepositions. You know, we often talk about pronouns being so important for the transgender community and using mm-hmm. the correct pronouns.
Right.
But prepositions too are important, right? So, who does one go to bed with?
Yeah.
And who does one go to bed as?
Well, so. And I usually don't get into the conversation about, you know, transgender people can be gay, or transgender people queer, or transgender people can be bisexual, because that's just, like, in often cases, that's just overload. It's
Watch
just too
head
much. So sometimes you have to work, sort of chip away at people.
Yeah.
These little bits of information, but...
Telescopic, I think they call it in pedagogy. You know, it's learning and building on the knowledge that you know.
I mean,
we are who we are today as a result of what we learned in grade one, and then in grade two, and then you know, et cetera, et cetera.
Well, it's like I was saying to you earlier that a lot of the times when I get misgendered, when I go out, it's cashiers or it's librarians or people in the community that are working in these service-oriented industries, and oftentimes you don't have enough time to even explain.
Right.
You know, they misgender you. You gently correct them, and usually they go, "Oh, sorry, I didn't know," and thank you for sharing that.
Yes.
And then we move on.
Yes, right.
There are other cases where I say that and they don't get it, and then that conversation gets continued.
Right.
The next time I go to buy milk and eggs.
Right. Until so you stop giving your business.
Well, and I also have a button on my purse that says, ask me about my pronoun preferences.
Oh!
So sometimes when I'm feeling vulnerable or low, I'll sort of put that on my jacket when I go out. It's almost like a safety, you know? It's like, some people ask, you know?
Yeah.
It's interesting. So I know you also created a thing called the Rainbow Peace March, which takes place in St. John every year, and I'm wondering if you'd like to tell our listeners a bit more about that and when and where that event's going to take place this year, so that potential attendees know where to go and when.
Great. Well, yes, thank you for allowing me this PSA.
Yeah,
so
yeah.
It's the Rainbow Peace March has been since 2005, has been our way in St. John to recognize the International Day Against Homophobia and Transphobia. And I think since day one, we have always referred to it as the International Day Against Homophobia and Transphobia. That's not entirely true, because when it started in 2005, it was actually the National Day Against Homophobia and Transphobia, which was started by a Quebec, Montreal, I believe, but a Quebec organization called Fondation Emergence. So they have been great at really promoting this, getting it out there, getting lots of sponsors and supporters and that sort of thing. My only criticism, and I say this with love for this organization, is that they weren't recognizing our transgender sisters and brothers. And their argument for that is, they said, well, our transgender neighbors and cousins and next and citizens and throughout the country have a day of remembrance, as you alluded to earlier, and it's in November. And so they thought that was adequate for that. But still... being heavily influenced by PFLAG Canada, we were quite insistent that we used it's the International Day Against Homophobia and Transphobia. So I'm proud of the fact that we did that.
Right.
And in all our literature and in our The proclamation that we send to City Hall every year, which I invite people, if they have time to go to City Hall, they could have that read, hear it read by the mayor, the new mm-hmm. mayor and council. Mm-hmm. And so in 2005, we decided to have something that would be public, and we thought, well, we have this thing called the Rainbow Peace March. So the rainbow is sort of the de facto symbol across the world of it came out as being the symbol for the gay community, but I think it's become the symbol for really the LGBTQ++ community, even though within that there are banners or flags or symbols or iconography that represent individual groups within that.
Right.
And I believe that sort of baby blue and pink are the and white, I believe, mm-hmm. are the symbols for the trans community. So mm-hmm. So with that, I think that you know when you see the rainbow sticker on a bumper of a car, you know that they're likely an ally.
Right, right.
So we want it rainbow, and we want it on the Harbor Passage because it's a beautiful part of St. John, right. And Harbor Passage had just really kind of opened up at that time. So so ever since then, we've had it there, different parts of Harbor Passage, because Harbor Passage has been under construction at different points of time over that period. And the last number of years, we've had it on Fort Latour site, because that was a significant area historically, because it was an area where the First Nations community has used, and the French community when they discovered this area, Sammy de Champlain and Lady Latour was fighting off discrimination, and you know, so it's all kind of about recognizing discrimination and history from that area. Plus, it's just beautiful to look out over the harbor, mm-hmm. And so it's a somber time. It's not, people often mistake it for the Pride Parade, which is a wonderful time to celebrate mm-hmm. diversity, and this is less about celebration of diversity and more about commemorating those who have been discriminated against.
Right.
Douglas Victor Janoff, a criminologist and researcher in Ottawa, wrote a wonderful book called Pink Blood, Homophobic Violence in Canada. So he doesn't talk about, and this book came out a number of years ago, probably about 10 years ago, but he doesn't talk about transgender violence, but I wouldn't hesitate to think that he could fill volumes about that, and sadly, right. you and I both know about mm-hmm. transgender violence. But discrimination against one who is a transgender or lesbian or gay or bisexual or black or French or a woman doesn't always have to be violent. It can be legislation that is discriminatory. Mm-hmm. It can be a policy in a workplace that's discriminatory. It can be an attitude from behind the pulpit that is discriminatory. It could be a comment that a politician, Donald Trump, Stephen Harper, and those things are very hurtful. And mm-hmm. And I have no doubt that after a person hears enough of those things or reads enough of them, comments online or in the editorial sections of one's newspaper, after a while they weigh very heavily on one's heart. And mm-hmm. And I have no doubt that they have led to self-harm of people in the LGBT community, yeah. and even suicide, sadly.
And that was the second of three installments of an interview with local LGBT activist and advocate Mac McKenzie. And believe it or not, that brings us to nearly the end of the show. Just quickly, the Trans Lifeline in Canada is 877-330-6366. If you're out there and struggling and need help, call that number. Again, 877-330-6366. The PFLAG main hotline is 888-530-6777, extension 555. And you can also call the PFLAG Gender Identity Support, which is 1-888-530-677, extension 226. You can also go to the pflagcanada.ca for more information. And make sure you keep the date for May 17th for the Rainbow Peace March. And tune in again next Monday from 2 to 2:30. For more queer radio. And I've been your host, Stephanie Tierney. Thanks so much for joining me. And head over to Facebook, KWIR, as a Facebook page. right here live on Local 107.3 FM. Thanks for tuning in.